night and good evening and welcome to the very first Ascension Road radio show of the year. I am your host. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan, and I want to thank you so much, all of you that I've talked to over this past couple of weeks and said, hey, my new show is Sunday night at 8:30. Be there or be square. This one-hour show every week is dedicated to all of the techniques and the process of ascension. We come to you on Sunday night at 8:30 to spend an hour with you to help your process, to further your process on the road to ascension. And my wonderful, very, very special guest that is helping me this evening for our grand kickoff is my so longtime sister and mentor and teacher and friend, All Mean. Good evening, All Mean.
Good evening, Rain, and what an honor to be on your first show. I am
delighted
to be with your listeners and yourself.
I'm so excited. This is different because on this show, I get to do anything I want to. And you know, I mean, I've always had an authority problem.
Well, let's just say it's a creativity benefit. Let's just call it that.
Okay, we'll call it that. Want to let the folks know, I think tonight I'd like to do something a little bit different than we did last week. While I want to recap and talk again about some of the things that we talked about last week, I think this week I would like to talk more about you. I know that you're endorsed and you're described as one of the greatest mystics of our time, and that's really exciting to me, just to get to know you and to follow along in your footsteps. Your work represents the cutting edge of mysticism, and that's the place where the physical and the non-physical meet and new realities are born. And a little bit more about you, Almeen. You are a three-prong Nawal. Now, I think first we need to explain to people what is a Nawal, and then what does it mean to be three-prong?
All right. Well, a Nawal really doesn't choose himself. A Nawal is a very unique type of a being. Everybody out on the street has what's called a luminous cocoon around the body. It's comprised of the physical body and the etheric body, which, you know, the Russians actually have now developed technology that can actually see those acupuncture points on that sort of etheric body that we have for centuries known about but haven't been able to see. Mm-hmm. So they've got technology to actually be able to do that. Around that is what folks do get to see, and that is the aura, but really what it is the emotional body. And around the emotional body, there is a linear body yet again, like the etheric, and its golden lines of light. It is the mental body. Around that is another swirling color body that also shows up on some of the Carillion photography, and it is the spiritual etheric body. Around that is the spiritual mental body, and then you get what's called the spirit body, or the seventh body, which is comprised of trillions and trillions of light fibers that emanate out from the life force center, and they hold all possibilities within that being of everything that is outside the being in the cosmos. So that's what a luminous cocoon is. A Nawal, on the other hand, is born with, and they actually go from lifetime to lifetime with a different configuration. They have a double luminous cocoon that overlaps and sort of like two circles overlapping, making a Vesica Pisces. And that is because these beings have undertaken with the infinite to dedicate their entire life to set others and themselves free from any illusion. And so that is, in a nutshell, what a Nakwat is and does.
Okay. Did you ever in your life study with Carlos Castaneda's?
I have studied with no physical being.
Okay. So it all comes, it's just downloaded into you.
The Toltec way was given to me by telepathy. And then I've had, I've had some of the ascended masters come and go, like the Native American Stalking Wolf years ago made his appearance and in my home on four occasions. He's an ascended master. He's not physical. I've had multiple teachers come and go for brief times, but they've not been what we would call human beings or physical.
Do you remember years ago when you and I were talking and I said that I had done an intensive, if you will, with Avendar Dragon in my house?
Yes.
You were kind of doing a reading with me. You were looking into what was going on, and you asked me if something had happened in my house that could have opened a vortex. Do you remember that? And I said to you, yes. We did a 3-day intensive with Avendar Dragon, and of course, you know, he's very into the Toltec path, and that's, you know, we were working on each other, moving the assemblage points. And do you remember that I told you that a man had begun, well, lots of things had begun to happen in my home. Every time I opened a door, there were little flashing lights moving in and out of doors and drawers and appearing all over the rooms. And there was a man that had begun to float in the air, and you could only see him. He didn't have legs. It was like he floated about 4 feet above the ground, and he had this enormous cat with him. And do you remember me? Do you remember you and I talking about that?
I do.
I know it's been a long time.
Yes, it has, but I do.
Okay. Well, you know, several people, without my ever saying a word, saw this. He and the cat appeared to them. One particular night, a friend of mine, I will never forget, April Love, I don't know where she is, but I send my blessings and my honor out to her, one of the most fabulous numerologists and astrologists I have ever had the privilege to know. But she was at my house one night helping me on the computer, and something caught her eye, and she quickly jerked her head around to look behind her, and she says, "Oh my goodness, Rain, do you know that there's about a 5-foot-high cat in your house?" I mean, she described what you and I saw. Well, guess what? It's back.
Oh, that's interesting.
What can you get a take on that? What do you think's happening with that? Is that back to guide me? Is it part of my totem? What can you get a take on that?
My sister, my feeling is he just simply likes living there.
In the new house, too?
He's following you around.
Followed me all the way from California.
Yes.
And almost every time I go in to teach even a class, because you know when you're teaching it, you're doing it. You know that.
Yes.
And two nights ago, I taught a class in Scottsdale in, just kind of leaving your body and, you know, going out and looking at other dimensions, astral travel type of thing. And you know, not only did I see the big cat, but one of my students saw the big cat again. I can't help but wonder why he keeps appearing not only to me, but to others too.
Well, I think that he simply follows you around, Rain.
He does.
I've had ongoing issues with beings just moving into my house. because they love the good energies.
Is that it?
I decided if they were going to live there, I was going to put them to good use. And I got the elfin language from some of the elves, and I got the fairy languages from some of the fairies. And I started to write down their languages and their vocabularies and so on. And I actually put them down in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, which is one of my books. But, you know, I thought, you know, I'm not going to have freeloaders. If they're here, they can help write a book.
I wonder if that's what I need to do. I wonder if I just need to say, okay, you keep showing up for a reason. Now get busy.
Yes.
What
can he contribute?
I don't know what.
What can he contribute? Absolutely. I mean, I had, after several years of really intense mystical work, I had a house full of beings just living there, and they all had their squabbles and their wives and everything else. They have to contribute.
Yeah. Well, you know that this is kind of this is the kickoff of my new show, but it's kind of the kickoff of my new life, because I'm really taking some steps now. I have a partner that really has the other side of what I can't do. And you know, Almeen, for such a long time, I felt less than because I couldn't do the computer and I couldn't do all of the graphics work. But we have to have help, don't we?
My sister, I am not computer literate.
Single
book I've now got, my sixth book is being shipped on its way. Every single book is written in complete silence of the mind. My hand writes the book in longhand, and then I hand it to somebody that then organizes it and puts it in the computer, and we start editing. But I am not at all computer literate. I have not read a book possibly since 1994. Because the information is pouring in at such a rapid rate, all I have to do is sit still. And, you know, so I try and simplify my life. I own several computers in several offices. But, you know, it's not for me either.
You know, that's one of the things that I really am endeavoring to do right now, is to simplify my life. I have quite a new program coming together, all based around ascension, getting you ready, taking people to the next step. And at the same time, I want to find a way to do that is much more simple than what... I don't want to drive 500 miles a week anymore. You know, and I don't want to do all these sessions. I just want to go around and talk. So, and you know, I meant to ask you last week, and I forgot all about it. Talked about you and I, or you. We talked about you coming to Phoenix and doing a seminar. And I'd really like to talk with you more about that, but I also want to know, when are you doing something that people can get to?
My sister, I'm on my way to Ireland tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
There's another class in Ireland that is in November. We have a class in Toronto in October. And we have a class in Newport, Oregon, which is in my home, in October as well. And then I'm speaking at the Ohio Light Expo, and this is on my website.
Okay.
My classes are for 5 days. People arrive in identity consciousness, meaning that they have a deafening dialogue in their heads.
Right.
And because of these wonderful ascended masters that are in my classes, and I mean physical beings.
Yeah.
By the end of that week, by grace, and also because of the work that they are exposed to, it is very rare that they would leave still in ego identification. That has happened last 3 classes ago. That we had one person out of 25 that did not enter the mastery of being able to silence the mind. And You know, they're extraordinary because the 5 days, basically you leave a different person. But that is what we have. And so they are very welcome to contact us. If you don't mind, I can give them the website, www.spiritualjourneys, all one word, lowercase, N-E-Y-S at the end, .com. www.spiritualjourneys.com. And for those that are not computer literate, they may call our office in Kentucky at 502-895-1640. But I suspect, my friend, it's possibly only you and I that are not computer literate.
Maybe. Mostly everybody out there
yes.
is doing a real good job.
Yes.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I have a $1,500 MacBook, and I'm learning. I mean, I've had a computer for years, and I work on the computer. I do. I can get around on the web, and I can use, you know, any of the word processing stuff. But, you know, when it comes to the graphics, and creating the website and or even updating it. I mean, I can't even get on it and put anything new on it. It until somebody comes along and says, you know, well, I have someone that does that now. My good friend Gary Radke is my new partner, and he's been a graphic artist for more than 40 years and has just left a company where he was director of the art department and has done fabulous works. He's just a fabulous artist. And he's the one that is now taking over all of the stuff that has anything to do with the computer, because otherwise I just have to sit with this glazed look on my face.
I'm all for delegation, Rain.
No, delegation. Just delegate. Okay, you do that. Honey, let's talk about something that you just mentioned. The ego and all of the talk that's going on. Now, you said that there was only one person that didn't enter into the silence and the ascended mastery. How do you know? And what does that mean?
There's a transfiguration that takes place, Rain, and it is in the fields around the body. People in ego identification have the configuration that I have just explained, that constitutes that luminous cocoon. But in fact, that's only during the three phases of initiate and adept, and most teachers out there are sort of in the mastery level, but they are all masters with ego. And so the only place really that people that are themselves in ego can take you is around and around the fishbowl. So to be able to get out of the fishbowl, you go into what is called God consciousness stage, again with its three phases in it. And in the God consciousness stage, there is massive transfigurations, particularly with the emotional bodies. And each of the three phases have a new configuration. So if you can perceive energy directly, you can actually see what phase someone is in by the configuration of the fields around their body.
And you can see this?
I can see it if I am in expanded vision, not if I'm just walking around the street. But so the point is that after that comes the apex of human achievement, which is what you call ascended mastery. It's the upper level of three. And in ascended mastery, it's in the second phase of it that one enters immortal mastery. But it's just one of three phases, and during those three phases, there are very large configurations with the mental bodies that I mentioned. Remember, we had the spiritual mental, we had the mental body itself that most folks are familiar with, and the etheric body, because it's linear, is also a masculine electrical body, unlike the, you know, the flowy colors that we see on the aura photographs.
Right.
So it's the emotional bodies and the God consciousness stage, but it is the mental bodies that transfigure during the ascended mastery stages. And, you know, it's very, very easy now for people to ascend. It wasn't before, but because of the planetary ascension, huge, huge opportunities are given.
Now, you and I talked last week that we have to get there and be it, but then we have to come back.
And get where and come back?
Well, into... Remember last week when we were talking about, I think that you talk about it in The Gift of the Unicorn, the descension.
Okay.
So we have to ascend, but then we come back into the reality of Earth to help other people.
Oh, Rain, the point is that the ascended masters have choices. It is absolutely an injunction from the mother of all life, the one that we call the infinite, because it's more feminine than masculine. It's the eternal mother. But the eternal mother has given instructions to the immortal masters that they must stay in physical form. Because what happened, this is fascinating, if I may do this, I don't know when,
absolutely.
And, you know, when you have to break for a commercial, just please.
No, we don't. We have
good.
1 hour and we're running
wonderful.
Straight through.
Well, let me tell you what happened, because this is absolutely fascinating. If your show is on ascension, this is possibly quite an important fact for some of the listeners to know.
Okay.
Rain, we had thousands of ascended masters in the ascended master realms. That the ascended master realms was in realms that was above the spirit worlds where people go when they passed on. Beyond that was the ascended mastery realms. Well, in those realms, these ascended masters had so stagnated because they had overpolarized into the light. And there is, in fact, a very good reason for that, why it happened, but, you know, we can certainly get to that if you wanted to know further, but they had stagnated into the light, and growth had slowed down. Out of the thousands and thousands of masters that had overcome death, vibrated their bodies right out of this realm into that realm, only 9 had made it beyond the human kingdom, out of the ascended mastery realm, up until August of 2005. And those 9 were Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Sanat Kumara, Kuan Yin, Mother Mary, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and then there were 2 female Taoist immortal masters there. But they're the only ones that made it through. And the reason that so few, because this is, life is not a journey. You know, it's not a camp. It's a journey that keeps going and growing. The infinite itself keeps growing. So any kingdom that gets stuck and doesn't progress beyond is in uniformity. And uniformity, like tribal life, is not a place where growth is very rampant. And so, you know, Mother said that they've gone totally into what is called a negative pole, which is a receptive pole. She wanted the ascended masters to stay in physicality rather than vibrate out of it, because she, in fact, wanted the positive pole to be very proactive, because any growth anywhere in the cosmos is the result of polarities pulsing each other. And if that pulsing does not occur, it's inevitable that there is stagnation.
Go in a little bit deeper to that pulsing. What
certainly. Humans pulse between doingness and beingness. You will find that there are layers within the cosmos that you can travel through. There are, in fact, 12 cosmic bodies. They pulse each other. Let's just take a pair of emotions. Toltecs had always studied that there are 4 basic pairs of emotions. Well, that was changed. And it was changed last year in August when massive configurations happened that we're different than ever before encountered within the cosmos. Mother restored the accurate tones of the cosmos, which are 12 emotional pairs. And these pairs pulse each other. For instance, you have passion and joy. And I've actually, if people want to understand this principle of pulsation, which is dynamic growth, balance itself is a pulsation between that which is static and that which moves. Balance, if it is just simply equilibrium, it is death. It is stasis. So dynamic balance and growth in the cosmos. Everything has to pulse. And I did actually create a sort of a, just a one CD, I think it's 10, 12 bucks or something, that they can certainly order from us. But it's called Wings and Roots. Wings and Roots. Feeling at home on Earth. Because this little CD, Wings and Roots, explain why we've had in-breaths and out-breaths of the cosmos itself. How you pulse between passion and joy. And every emotional pair has this positive polarity and a negative polarity. Passion is the desire to know. Joy is the desire to live. If you have passion, but you don't come back to joy, the passion doesn't deepen. And in fact, it can become very, very, you can feel as though you don't have roots. You only have wings. People that gravitate into joy, as an example, the Ascended Mastery Realms up until 2005, sometime later in that year. Up until that time, they had overpolarized into joy and bliss. Well, the problem is that if you only go there, you have roots, but you have no wings. And so there is no growth. But if you only have growth and you don't come home to the joy, it's like a little ship that has no rudder. It just has sails. So this pulsation is absolutely part of everywhere that you go in the cosmos. If you look at the Eternal Mother herself, she has a positive aspect which is here on Earth. The Earth is the most unique and special place. And we give the history of the Earth and how it actually was the cradle of civilization as given to me by what's called the Last Kingdom, that we're the history keepers of the planet for absolute eons of existence in the book, which is called The Gift of the Unicorns. And we're receiving it from the publisher next week.
Yeah, I thought it said available August 15th.
It is, but it had one misspelled word in it of a kingdom's name. And, you know, I try and be really respectful of them.
Right.
And I sent that back so that their name could be correct.
Cool, okay. So next week, The Gift of the Unicorns, Sacred Secrets of Unicorn Magic. And you know that excites me. And that and Aruba Farina.
Well, the second half of the Unicorn book is the history of this planet. And you can see that the mother always has favored it. The positive aspect of the mother is here. And then her feminine, which is her negative receptive poles, are the ones that keep the other realms open. So even mother herself pulses between her feminine and her more proactive masculine aspect.
Last week, and just for you folks out there that are listening to the show this evening for the first time and you didn't hear last week's show, we talked about the healers. In Reiki, and I'm a pranic healer, I am a Reiki master, but I haven't practiced that for years. I do practice the techniques of pranic healing. You are talking about not using the same techniques of healing anymore, that light frequency. That's what we need to move into now. The old way is to use energy, and the new way to heal is to use light and frequency. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, my sister, I'll be delighted to. And, you know, it's not that I'm naming names of any specific healing modality, but anything that heals with energy, it will no longer work for the following reason. As of August, it was the beginning of August 2006. In August 2006, I received the information from the mother and that she had, in fact, cut the energy symbols of healing modalities everywhere that worked with energy from their power source. And she did it because well-meaning practitioners would suddenly cause disease rather than healing. Up until that day, it went very, very well to heal with energy, because energy and matter, up until the day in August 2006, when the poles in the cosmos reversed, were attracted to its opposite. So if you had a diseased area in the matter of your body or in the energy field, which is usually where it originates, then healing energy is its opposite, and it would just suck it right in like a sponge sucks up water. But then the poles reversed, and suddenly opposite energies now repelled. Opposite matter now repelled, which is very good news for light workers, because, you know, until that time, we were attracting deceitful ones. We were attracting, in many cases, the wrong families that we were born into, because opposite matter attracted. And so, you know, sometimes we were like a light that was clustered about by so many moths that you couldn't even see your own light. That changed. Now there was a repelling, and we might find that, you know, there's been a lot of blow-ups with people in our life since that time, because opposite energy cannot last together for very long. But then opposite frequency and light started to attract. And so any healing modality that works with frequency and light, you can, in fact, now practice with great success. In order to give to humanity what she took away, Mother gave a healing modality called Belvaspata. And you spell it B-E-L-V-A-S, V for Victor, P-A-T-A. And I think that there is a link to the Belvaspata website that some of the masters have put up on my website. But the Belvaspata technique can be self-initiated. If anyone comes to my class, the class is filled with Belvaspata grandmasters, and so we make sure that when they leave that that's a gift that they get, that they get these initiations. But they can self-initiate, and the self-initiations are given in my book called The Ring of Truth. And Rain, the Ring of Truth was a very specific instruction from Mother in August. She told me, write this immediately, and it has to be in the publisher's hands by the 1st of December. And the reason was that the Ring of Truth deals with the profound changes that took place that makes it a lot easier for the Ascended Mastery to occur in August, because everything that had been the true illusion of the cosmos was solved at that time.
I want this initiation.
Well, my sister, there's two ways to do this. In the Ring of Truth, there is the self-initiation. I believe that we also have it in the Unicorn Book. And the Unicorn Book may even... let me just see here. No, it is not the Unicorn Book. It is the Ring of Truth. So the reason that I'm a little perplexed is that, you know, I was receiving two books from Mother at once, and the one is the Revelations of Isis. I was having to translate this large library. I just translated one scroll of the Isis Mysteries. but I was doing that simultaneously that I was receiving from the Hidden Kingdoms the information of the Unicorn book. But it is in the Isis Mysteries, which won't be available till the end of the year, so it's best if folks get the door of, the Ring of Truth.
The Ring of Truth.
So,
and then,
but the second way to do it is if you come to a class, see, there's waiting periods between the initiations. I believe there's a 3-month waiting period between level 1 and level 2, a 6-month one to mastery, and so forth. And self-initiation is done in mother's language. Because when you do it in mother's language, everything that is spoken in mother's language becomes so. And so it's like a form of tremendous, powerful white magic, because it has only the ability to do good. So you use mother's language to self-initiate. That's how that can be done. But if one comes to one of the classes, the 5 days that we have, because of the company of these that have already gone into their ascended mastery or are beyond humanness, and the exposure to the tremendous events that take place, because those classes, there is no curriculum. What happens there is upon the instructions of the mother herself. But because of the rapid transfiguration of the bodies that happens, they can be initiated each day to get an initiation. So they actually leave as grandmasters.
That excites me.
It's very exciting, Rain.
I know it is. I would love to say that I would be able to come in October, and I don't know if that is a possibility because October is so close, and I have to be able to book things out so far in advance to, you know, be able to go away for 6 days at a time.
Yes. Well, let me know. I mean, if for some reason you can't, I might have some frequent flyer miles, and then you can fly to Ireland in November and ask one of the masters there. The Irish group is incredibly special, as we mentioned last week. They are the custodians of Isis's magic, and they are the Order of the White Rose.
Oh,
and if you want to go there, we'll ask one of them to have you in their home, and I'll give you my frequent flyer miles, and then that might be better.
Ah! Oh, my goodness, all the hair, if I had any, on the back of my neck just stood up.
That might be a yes, then.
Well, you know, I'm little more than half Native American, and I know I look Irish with all the red hair and the green eyes, but my father was just about full-blooded Arapaho, and we don't have very much hair on our arms and legs and, you know, things like that. But if I had it, it would be standing up. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. What a wonderful gift.
You're most welcome, my sister.
Oh.
And they can, if they wish, we had the rare opportunity of having an interview with the masters, well, two of them. And they actually describe the day that Belvaspatar was given by the mother, because it happened when I was in Ireland with the Sacred Order of the White Rose that is there. And it is with their assistance that I have translated one of the scrolls of Isis. I can translate that for the rest of my life. We give the glyphs, we give the way it sounds, and then we give the actual translation. So, my sister, they can go to Voice America, Seventh Wave Network, and then they scroll down to Almin, and it was, I think, actually, that will be given on the 29th or the 22nd of this month. There's this one rerun that we're going to have, and that's the one we're going to rerun. But they can always go. It was our second show at the end of February of this year, interview with the masters of the Order of the White Rose.
And
they're immortal masters. They're phenomenal.
And the shows are all archived, so it doesn't matter when, how, where. You can just scroll down and get your show.
Correct.
Same way here at BBS, any of the shows that I have done, people can just go to the archives and they can pick up. Oh, my goodness, I think I might just be going to go to Ireland.
I would be so delighted.
Rain,
every single time that I have gone there, Mother has sent me with incredible sacred objects to be held by everyone that's there. I leave tomorrow by plane for Ireland, and Mother is sending me with ancient artifacts, one for each member in the class. They are over 1,000 years old, and they were prepared by 3 Nagwals for the restoration of magic. And what they're designed to do is to create cracks in the egg, in this luminous cocoon. The cracks don't go all the way through, but when I say I'm a 3-pronged Nagwal, that's because I've had 3 cracks happen, and it enables one to hold more light. 3 Nagwals over 1,000 years ago saw this day, and this is what I'm to deliver there when I leave tomorrow. Every time I go, these sacred objects accompany me. They have a blanket that held the Christ child. They have got, on and on. I should possibly let them listen to the interview, and then they can find those objects. But they've been very holy custodians of sacred bodies of knowledge.
How phenomenal. Now, will you repeat this in November?
I assume that Mother will yet again send me with a sacred object or objects. We had crystals that were physically held. He was in physical form for a brief 2 years, Sanat Kumara. And now he's actually one of the planetary gods around our planet, of another planet. But Sanat Kumara physically held 24 crystals. Each of the masters have one of these crystals and gave a blessing to it for them. So, you know, this now comes from the Nagwals, prepared over 1,000 years ago for them. And Mother sent me to Juneau, Alaska, to get Mayan artifacts to take to Ireland. I just work here.
Yeah. I just work here. How funny is that? Now, this Dublin, Ireland trip is November 14th through the 18th. And for folks out there listening to this, wanting, you know, I can just hear people, I can hear their minds running right now. Oh, could I do this? How much time would it take? What's the cost? And, you know, I have a little message that's just being downloaded into me now for those of you that are listening. Don't think about what it costs or any of that. Just say, this is what I desire to do. And let it unfold in front of you.
And we have, once a year, we have a class up in Fairbanks. We have got the Irish, we've got Toronto, and then we've got Newport. Those are all 5 days, and it costs $1,000. And, you know, if folks want to go to Ireland, then, again, we will ask some of the masters to take them into their homes. We work with people to make it happen.
Yeah. Now, you're also going to be in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, I will be there for a few hours of talks at the Columbus, Ohio Light Expo.
Yeah, that's October 13th and 14th. So Dublin, Ireland, oh, and you know, that's where people on my mother's side are from. My mother is Scotch-Irish, and Morrison, you know, you can't get too much more Irish than that. That was her name, Morrison, and that's where they're from. They're from in and around Dublin, so my roots are over there. Well, they're, you know, they're caught between Ireland and wherever my father is from. I really need to look at where my roots come from on the Native American side. You know, back in the day, all mean to be what's called now Native American, back then it was just Indian, was kind of in the same realm as being black in the South. I remember my father and my Aunt Jenny, his sister, talking about being asked to leave restaurants because they were Native American. And my mother didn't really want me to be raised in that world. I looked very white, and that's what we talked about. We were white. So I, in a way, feel like part of my heritage was taken from me, and I would very much like to find out what that's all about. And then another part of me says, my heritage is within the universes of the universes.
So, you're right, Rain. You know, I have this wonderful little Native American, full-blooded Native American daughter that I've adopted.
Yes.
And I'm a single mom. And she and I have a life of tremendous joy. And she so honors her heritage. I make sure of it. But she's a child of the cosmos.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I can say, every single area of workshop has a very specific sort of benefit to it. You know, the sacredness of my home, I can spend several hours just reiterating some of the events that have happened in there. It's a whole other thing again. But in Ireland, for some reason, massive events have been triggered every time. The week that is to come, that starts on Tuesday, well, actually, the classes start on Wednesday. This week to come, births the North American body of magic called the Order of the White Dove. The masters of the Order of the White Rose have been coming back and forth and back and forth through a time tunnel from ancient Egypt that opens near Clonmacnoise. And they have prepared themselves and the place and everything to have this Order of the White Rose. But they always knew that it is from their rose that the dove will fly to the North American continent, and that, you know, I have been prophesying since January that it is in September that the Order of the White Dove will begin on this continent. Mother has already started as of the 17th of June to have me write its secrets down. And I've been writing daily. But the point is that it is the birth of it in Ireland this week. And although, you know, it's hard to top what has already happened there each time I go,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be an incredibly exciting week.
Yeah, now how do we follow this up? How do we top this?
Exactly, exactly, and it keeps happening, so I don't know.
you amaze yourself.
Every day.
I love that.
Every day. There's something happens that tops yesterday when I thought it couldn't happen.
I have this feeling inside of me that there's something to come for me, and I don't know what words to put on it. I don't know what's happening. I just know it is.
My sister, and it's this year that you are to exit the human kingdom.
This year?
Yes. It would be good if you can make it somewhere. We'll work together to make that happen. One of the workshops that are left.
How about Ireland?
That works fine. You know, you've been speaking to my dear brother, Paul, and let's get you a ticket.
How awesome. And I have to tell you, I haven't said this to him, but I intend to, but I'll say it to you. His energy is fabulous.
Brain, he's an immortal master.
He's wonderful.
He's in total silence of the mind.
He he's so humble. When he said to me, well, Almeen is trying to get to the hotel. This was for last Wednesday's show. He said, Almeen is trying to get to the show, and I know she wants to talk to you. And it turned out that we had a little misunderstanding of sorts, or how, you know, things fall through the cracks. You know they do. And I was supposed to get some of your newest work. I have some of your past stuff, but I was supposed to get some of your newest work so that I could go through the books and, you know, we could do... It just makes it so much easier. I have a habit that I've developed over the past 12 years of doing radio where I can just open the book and I can start at the contents and get the authors to talk about what they've written, and it makes it very easy. It kind of starts at the beginning and leaves off, you know, someplace in the middle, and it makes people want the book. They think, okay, what's next? I don't want to miss this. Well, I didn't have your books in my hand, and so Paul said, well, you know, how about if I call you, tell me what a good time is, and I said about 5:30, and he said, I'll try, and as best I can, I can't do it the way she would do it, but I'll give you enough information that we can do a good interview. And, you know, he is so knowledgeable, and he is so humble, and he is so sweet that I just thought, what a phenomenal human. What a wonderful, ascended human he is.
He came to work for a class, his tuition, and he stayed.
I
kept him. The energy is so holy to work near an ascended master like that. It's the only way to do it.
I want it. I want it so much. I dreamed several times since you came on the show Wednesday, and I said to you, how do we know? How do you know when you have reached the place of immortal? And you talked about should you cut your finger, or you talked about the taste, that the sweetness that's in the back, the palate of your mouth. And I don't want to just haul off and cut my finger, but I've visualized my body just knitting back together, and
yes.
I keep looking for the taste, and I want this. I want this more than, it's the epitome of everything I've done in my whole life or lifetimes is to become this. And then to carry this message, because, you know, my sister, all these years I have, no matter what financial things, you could knock me down, but you could never keep me down. My whole life has been to help the rest of the earth. I have to do this. So maybe it's time now for me to take the next step to go where you are.
My sister, it would be wonderful. And for the folks that are listening, the actual configuration that happens around the bodies of not only the human levels, but the two levels that lie beyond that in what is called the God Kingdom, we have it under the God realms in Secrets of the Hidden Realm. And I believe that we also have it in some of the other books, such as The Ring of Truth.
Okay.
But it shows you exactly what happens when one leaves that humanness into the God realms. It actually becomes a huge field of zero-point energy around the body. And that is the time that you absolutely manifest what you need. I had a 3-hour journey to get to this hotel room so I could do this interview at, you know, what for my time is 8:30. And I was stuck for over an hour and a half in a traffic jam with a huge truck that's overturned with noxious fumes and cars couldn't go by. You know, and I just absolutely intended that I would walk in this door to at least 2 to 3 minutes beforehand. I left 3 hours before. I sat there an hour and a half. That's not logical, but I walked in here at 27 minutes past. So it just happens as it needs to.
Yeah, yeah. We're at the end of the show. An hour has simply collapsed. And I, again, want to thank you so very, very much for starting my new show with me. I'm so honored to have you on.
You are so welcome, my dearest sister.
And when you come back, I want to have you on again. And hopefully by then, I'll have a couple of your books. We can get into some deeper things. I'd like to have you, when you come back on, talk about the three stages, the identity, consciousness, silence of the mind type stuff. I want you to go into that. And more and more. So we'll do that next time. I'll get this set up. I'll talk to Paul. When should I talk to Paul about all of this?
You can give him a call. He's possibly working right now.
Okay.
Paul does not get tired very much, you see, because he doesn't have thoughts that drain his energy.
Oh. How important is that? Not having thoughts that drain your energy. Oh, that's a big one.
It is. And keep a few extra days after the class, and I shall ask the Master Peter in Ireland if he can take you around a little bit.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm going to book the time out. I'm going to book off at the store, the bookstore that I work at in Scottsdale. I'm going to book that time out next week when I go back.
That will be wonderful, my sister. Oh. Thank you for this privilege.
I love you.
I love you too, Rain.
And many blessings.
My love to you, listeners.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank all of you for joining me. We're 5 minutes over. Seth, Dawn, my illustrious engineers, I so very much thank you for taking such good care of me and taking 5 more minutes of your time. So, again, thank you much. And Dawn, a special thanks to you for putting together BBS Radio and making all of this possible. I want to let you know out there, if you want to get a hold of me, go to www.drrainmorgan.com. I do phone sessions, healings, readings. I absolutely can help you alter your life. I have the ability to look into your magnetic field, your past lives, see where your blocks are. I know where the illnesses in your body are. Let's move them out. Let's ascend together. All right? Many, many blessings to you. I'll be back next week. Bye for now.